Financial markets. Financial markets. Have you watched the markets lately? They rise and fall all the time, don't they? Financial markets rise and fall. But there is one investment that guarantees a good return. Investing in another person's soul. We're talking about investing tonight in eternity. Investing in eternity. Rule number one, financial markets rise and fall. That's the truth. You see it all the time. Some of us gain money, some of us lose money, especially if we're in the stock market. Or if you have money in CDs or IRAs, you could be losing rather than winning. But there's an investment. Listen, everybody. There is an investment that guarantees a good return. Investing in another person's soul. The Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell us that heaven and earth one day will pass away. And when that happens, everyone will stand before the Lord for judgment. Everyone, those who accepted God's gift of salvation, will live with Him eternally. People, however, who have rejected Christ will forever be separated from God. Forever. That's why when we lead someone to the Lord Jesus Christ in an intimate relationship with Jesus, we make, ladies and gentlemen, an eternal investment in that person's soul. Never do they die. Always they'll be with the Lord Jesus. What a blessing. You and I have a responsibility. You and I have a responsibility to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those in our neighborhoods, in our city, in our nations, and literally around the world. We have that responsibility. And do you know right now what's going on at the Harvest Baptist Temple and WHVT is so very vital? We are actually investing in eternity. Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, that this message was prompted because of that share-a-thon out there right now? Because everybody knows that we not only hit Clyde and Bellevue and Fremont, but we hit Findlay, and we hit Ashtabula, and we hit Coshocton, and we hit China, and we hit Russia, and we hit all over the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and just somebody coming forward and saying, I'm going to do a little investing in that radio station. We'll have great reward somewhere in eternity because somebody, one soul, got saved through that radio station. I just wonder how many that listen tonight, who are listening right now because they're playing this particular message on the radio station right now. I wonder how many listening got saved or encouraged and decided I want to be a part of a church because of that radio station. We've had truck drivers stop by. We had truck drivers. Remember that one year when that truck driver stopped by and as he pulled that big semi-truck, of course, we had just had the parking lot finished and we didn't want any big semi-trucks parking in that parking lot and we just got that boulevard done with those fancy little curbs and somebody said, oh no, here comes a big semi-truck. And I said, oh no, please, somebody run out there and tell him he can't come in here. And all of a sudden somebody said, well, let's let him come, let him come. And over the curb he came. And I said, he just crushed the curb. And he came down the boulevard, and he came in the parking lot, and he gets out of the truck, and he looks scrubby. I mean, he's got hair down to here, and he's got torn clothes on, and he walks into the radio station, and he says, is this the Christian radio station? And we're all standing there aghast. We said, yes, it is. Can we help you? He said, I just want somebody to know that I was listening to this radio station, and I just got saved. All of a sudden, we said, come on in, brother, God bless you. And we shook his hand and hugged his neck. And everybody's attitude all of a sudden changed. Because why? Because one more name was written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. That That was from the radio station. Listen, I'm telling you right now, you ought to get on the phone somehow when you go home. Is it $5, $10, $15, whatever? Everybody ought to give something else one more time to the radio station during this marathon, because you are investing in eternity. You'll never know how much you do for the Lord Jesus. Let's look at some principles, please. The Bible teaches us that we should share the gospel because God desires it. Roman numeral 2. We should desire and we should share the gospel because God desires it. If you will, go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. The Father, who will have all men. Here's what the Father says. The Father wants all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. I like those words. The message the world needs to hear is that they can be rescued from their sinfulness and become a new person in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the world needs to hear that message. Notice that God desires everyone. Did you notice that? He desires all men to be saved. I want you to notice that. Because no one is excluded. Some believe that Jesus died for only the elect or just a chosen few. But Scripture says in 1 John, go with me to 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 2, what does it say? And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Jesus died for everybody. Everybody. And we need to tell it. And I don't say that we have a unique station, but I will say that we have a good station. I'm not sure how unique it is. We should be preaching the gospel no matter what radio station we're on. But I know some don't. And I know some play the world's music so much it sounds like the world. And I know some of our own folks maybe don't like our music sometimes because it's so old. Bless your little heart. Bless your little heart. Love the old stuff. Love the old songs of the faith. And I don't love them because I'm an old man. I'm not an old man. I love them because there's so much truth in that wonderful words that we sing. And I heard one preacher say the other day, I get so tired of singing the same word 16 times. And that's like a lot of our songs that we're singing so often. We sing the same word over and over 16, 17, 18 times instead of the good old songs of the faith. What a friend we have in Jesus. Don't you love that song? Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. Don't you love that song? I love to sing those words. They mean something. I love the station myself. But he is a propitiation. That means he is the atonement for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. You see, Jesus tells us in John chapter 3, and you know this verse, verse number 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, Jesus tells us that so whosoever believes in him will not perish. You see, Jesus died for everybody. I get so tired of people saying, well, some will be saved and some won't. And I think I'm one of those who won't. No, God wants you to be saved too. God wants everybody to be saved. Everybody in this room. Do you know that everybody in this room is included in everybody? We're all included in that word, everybody. Amen. God wants us all to be saved. But he wants everybody who's listening to be saved by radio. Everybody. In Revelation chapter, let's go to 2 Peter first, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. What's it say there? The Lord is not willing that any should perish. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is what? Long-suffering. To us we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I've showed you enough verses right now that you should know right now off the top of your head that God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. God wants everybody to be saved. How can you invest in eternity? Go to Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9. Now remember, the Lord is not willing that any should perish. Believers from every tribe. The Bible teaches us here in Revelation 5, 9, believers from every tongue and from every nation will be represented someday in heaven. It's not going to be the United States of heaven. It's not. We're not just the privileged people. There's people all over the world getting saved. There's people, did you hear the radio station enough? Well, some of these guys have been on. There's people donating money to our radio station from foreign countries. Did you hear it? If a missionary calls in from his mission field and he calls in from the mission field to donate to our radio station, that should say something to the rest of us. And he did. Right, fellas? He did. A fellow, what was he from? What was it? Romania. He was from Romania. Keith Price. From Romania. And he gave a donation to the Christian radio station. You know why? Because Keith Price wants to keep listening to WHBT. Amen. Boy, come on, everybody. Even teenagers. Guys, you get a little allowance, a little money. Give a little money to the radio station. Invest in eternity. Invest in eternity. And please, 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 don't be like this. Don't be like some people. Well, I'd give my tithe out like some of the things the church does. You're not giving the money to the church. You're giving the money to God. You give money to the Lord. Not every church is going to do everything right. We're not going to do everything right. Somebody says, well, I don't want to give it to the radio because I don't like everything the radio does. Well, you've got to like something it does. Give for what you like. Come on, amen. You see, we say some of the silliest things. When God's kingdom needs to be promoted, on this radio station, you're going to hear some good gospel preaching. You're going to hear some good music, some wonderful preaching. Some wonderful laughter. Steve Prout does a wonderful job. You listened to him the night before church. He and Roberta did a wonderful job this afternoon. Roberta, you did a wonderful job. Benita, you did a wonderful job as well. That was so good to hear those ladies talk with Steve Prout. Man, Steve's got a voice, doesn't he? He can just spit the words out. He talks faster than I can think. He's unbelievable. But what a blessing it was. Invest in eternity. You see, you and I have a responsibility to share the gospel, the good news, with all people. When I look at my report that Charlie gives to me from sermonaudio.com, the sermons that we put on the internet, and they're listened to all over the world. Charlie, what was it, 82 different nations? Is that what you told me? 82 different nations. 82 different nations has heard my sermons. 82 nations. In the United States, how many states in the United States, Charlie, do you remember? 49 right now. We're only missing one. What state is that? We need to call somebody up. Don't remember, do you? Okay. 49 states of the 50 states. 49 states. Listen, last 6 months, to our radio station. Listen, the gospel's getting out, folks. The radio station needs to be supported. It's an investment. Amen. In eternity. The Father desires also... The Father also desires all men to come to a knowledge of the truth. Not only does the Father desire all men to be saved, but the next point, the Father also desires all men to come to a knowledge of the truth. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 4, please. Who will have all men to be saved? Now watch. He wants all men to be saved, and then he wants something else. And to come unto the knowledge of the truth. You see, I look at that verse. God isn't satisfied with someone becoming his child. The Father wants us to increase in knowledge and understanding of him. Spiritual growth, our young people, these young couples. God wants to see spiritual growth in these guys. Spiritual growth in our lives make us more effective for him. Spiritual growth makes us more effective at sharing the gospel with others. I read about the First Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia, where that one of its members, deacon, had gotten saved. He wasn't a deacon yet. He'd gotten saved, then became a deacon. But when he was lost and running the world, he was a crime buster. I mean, he went out and lived his life in organized crime. He was a bad dude. But he got saved. And after he got saved, he got discipled. And then with enthusiasm, he made spiritual growth effective in his life. And as he made spiritual growth effective in his life, he became a tremendous prison ministry official. And he preached the gospel in the prisons, much like Jack and Steve and Larry and all these guys have done over the years. And he became a very effective preacher of the gospel. Why? Because he could relate to those guys in jail. Because he had been there before he ever became a deacon, before he ever gotten saved. What a wonderful truth. After you get saved, folks, after we get saved, we're supposed to come to the knowledge of God and continue to grow in our walk with Him. He was a living testimony that anyone can become a brand new person in Christ regardless of his past. Aren't you excited about that? Regardless of your past, you can come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. Roman numeral number 3, please. The gospel is God's provision for sinful mankind. What does it say in Romans chapter 3, verse 23? The gospel is God's provision for sinful mankind. In Romans chapter 3, verse number 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what it says. We say that so much in our soul winning program. We say that as we go out talking to people. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The gospel is God's provision for sinful mankind. Many think being a moral person guarantees that they will go to heaven. People sometimes rationalize things like this, that they are not as sinful as some other people are. So I'm not as bad, and I don't do their wicked deeds, and so my good deeds outweighs my bad. But the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace are you saved. Saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Listen, all of us are bad. All of us are sinners. And we all need to be saved. What's it say in Romans chapter 3, verse 23 again? For all of us have sinned and come short. That means all of us have a sinful nature. And yet we have rebelled against our Creator. There's not a single person here who has not rebelled against God. We all have rebelled against God, young and old alike. And we all are sinners, and we all need to be saved. And God wants everybody to be saved. What we're doing tonight as a church, what we're doing here in church service, is we're investing in eternity. We're trying to teach young lives how to live for Jesus. C.J. Anstead is working tonight, but he's got a great series going on for our teenagers. He talked with me about it before he started that series. I think it's a wonderful series about how to stay clean and pure, how to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, how to grow up into the things of God and be a man or woman, boy or girl that's usable for God. I think that's wonderful. Every Wednesday night we meet, every Sunday morning, every Sunday night that we meet, we are investing in eternity. Every dollar we give to tithe, every dollar we give to missions, every dollar we give to school, every dollar we give to the radio station, we're investing in eternity. Is it important? It's the only thing that's going to last. If you could ever help me just continually build lives of individuals and get them to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that personal relationship lasts forever. You think about that. That personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ will last forever. Ricky Craig told me another little story. I tell you what, God been blessing old Rick and his wife. He said Monday night, Rick said his kids were playing around with the alarm clock. This was kind of cute. I told my wife at supper tonight about this story. It says kids were playing around with the alarm clock, and they had set the alarm for 2:30 in the morning. Ricky said, "Preacher, I didn't go to bed till 12:30. And he said, 2:30, the alarm rings. And he says, I get up, and I'm aggravated. I'm going to go in there and just chew on those kids. And so I go in there and shut the alarm off, and I use the bathroom, and I hear like sparks. What in the world? Turned around, and there was a little nightlight that was sparking against the wall. He said, normally they had the heater put in there. He said, preacher, God had to woke me up because it could have saved our family from being in a house fire. They said, I wasn't so aggravated at my little kids anymore. They might have saved my life. Anyway, but you know what? That's how God does things. This is when you're walking with the Lord. Does not he say that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord and he delighteth in his way? God will take care of us. Mankind is sinful. We're headed for disaster and hell, except Jesus comes. When Jesus comes, things are changed. Most people understand that God is holy. But they don't realize the implications of this fact. By his very nature, he cannot accept humanity in our sinful state because he is so holy. He can't accept us. You and I cannot be good enough. We cannot be good enough to get to heaven. The only way we are acceptable to the Lord is through Christ. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 and 6, because Jesus Christ is the mediator between God and man. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Our Savior's death made it possible for anyone to become a child of God. We're invested in eternity. But we must be willing to accept that ransom. We must be willing to accept that ransom that Jesus paid on our behalf. We've got to be willing to accept it. Apostle Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 3, jot this one down, verse 18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Wow. Christ died for sins once and for all. Not only was God's intent to rescue us, not only from the guilt of sin, I'm so glad God rescued me from the guilt of sin. He has rescued you from the guilt of sin, but that wasn't his only purpose. He rescued you from the guilt of sin, but he also meant to rescue you and to set you free from the penalty of sin. Whew. Amen. I don't have to face the penalty of sin any longer. And now he's also delivered me from the power of sin. I don't have to be brought under the power of any. I can live my life without being brought under the power of any kind of devil work. And then someday, and Ralph Cantor has experienced this. He's already there. He's experienced how to be set free forever from the penalty and the power and the guilt. And then he is free from the presence of sin. Someday you and I will be set free from the presence of sin forever. Glory! Amen! To be set free from the guilt of sin is one thing. To be set free from the penalty of sin is another. And the power of sin is another. But ladies and gentlemen, his presence, the old devil's presence, is still here. But someday in heaven, he's not going to be there. And forever, we'll be in the presence of our God. That's why heaven is going to be so different. The presence of the evil one is not there. We'll be saved from the presence of the enemy forever. Roman numeral 4, God has commissioned us to share the gospel with the world. Ladies and gentlemen, this point here to me is one of the most vital points of my message and one of the most vital points of Christian living. God has commissioned us to share the gospel with the world. I thought to me the other day when we had golden apples and we were all there, and the golden apples were putting scriptures together. You know what they were doing? They were investing in eternity. Because they're making those little Bibles and putting them together, packaging them up in boxes and sending them overseas or wherever they're going. And somebody's going to read one of those testaments, or maybe two or three, four or five, and they're going to get saved. Somebody invested their time to put those Bibles together. God's going to bless you for that. Come on, amen. He's going to bless for that. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, 14, 15, and 16. You are the salt of the earth, but the salt hath lost its savor. Wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and be trodden under foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. You see, believers are to be like salt and light wherever we go. We're to be like salt and light. Light drives away the darkness, does it not? Light drives away the darkness. And salt changes the flavor. Oh, just think who you are. You bring light to darkness, and you change the flavor of the situation. Whew. Wow. At work, at home, at play, at wherever your presence is, do you know that Christian's presence makes a difference? Every time you go someplace, you make a difference. Amen. Many non-believers think that the Bible is outdated. The Bible, ladies and gentlemen, is not outdated. Lots of young people especially think the Bible is an outdated book. But let me remind you, and you shout here a little bit, say amen, praise the Lord, stand on it. The Bible is not outdated. No, sir. It's right up to date, brother. It's right up to date. Some think it's outdated. Some think it's old. Some think it's full of myths. It is not. It's full of the truth. Your life can prove them wrong. I thought about how often that you and I need to let our light so shine before men that we prove to them of what they're saying about the Bible is totally wrong. Your life makes a difference. Your life can prove them wrong. Seek to reach out to your neighbors and co-workers and relatives and friends who don't know Jesus. If you aren't allowed to talk about your faith at work, you can still live in such a way that people wonder how in the world you have so much peace and all the life troubles that there is going on. You may not have to say a word at work. Don't get fired because you had to say something. Be smarter than that. Just live your life. Other people are cussing, don't cuss. If people look at dirty magazines, don't look at them. If people laugh at dirty jokes, walk away. Live your life. Live your life. You don't have to say a word. So say, well, I'm going to tell them. Don't tell them nothing. Let your life tell them. Your life telling them will be a great blessing. So oftentimes, we fundamentalists, we like to fight all the time, don't we? We want to bless God. Confrontational evangelism. I'm just going to grab somebody, tell them they're going to die and go to hell if they don't change their ways. That doesn't work like it used to. Now, it probably works, but not like it used to. Years ago, people would accept that. Today, they'd say, you nuts. Might even punch you. You never know. You got to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Scripture admonition. Ask for opportunities to share your testimony. I guarantee you, if you ask God for opportunity to share your testimony, doors will open. I'll guarantee it. Don't be someone who prays for foreign missions, but neglects to share the gospel in your own hometown, in your own home community. And by the way, don't spend money constantly given to missions across the seas and radio and TV preachers and forget your own radio station. I've known for years people who have helped radio ministries and TV ministries and forgotten all about WHBT. You know us. You see all of our frailties, our flaws. You may not know all the flaws of that other fellow you just gave money to. Be careful. Come on, amen? Just be careful about that. Go with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. This is not in Tammy's notes, but I want you to find it, if you can, in your Bible, please. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. If she gets on the screen, that'd be fine. Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would come, give us power to share the gospel in our city. He promised to give us power in our nation. He promised to give us power in our world. What did he say? But you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and then unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. But you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. When you got saved, the Holy Ghost of God came into you and lives inside of you right now. You have the power of God in you. To be what? Witnesses. Take your opportunity. Invest in eternity. All this other stuff we invest in is not going to be worth a hoot one day. But when we invest in somebody else's life and we get them to see a personal relationship with Christ is so important, and they do that, and you win them to Christ, and they live for the Lord Jesus, it's been worth it all. Come on, amen? Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20, talks about the same sort of thing. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. One way we can do this is through technology. we have it made today. Years ago when that was given, they didn't have what we have. Do you realize tonight that we're going to be listened to perhaps in 80 countries? What I'm preaching from this pulpit right now might be listened to in 80 different countries. 49 different states. You've never had that before. There's hardly a handful of churches that have what we have right here. It's unbelievable what we have at the Harvest Baptist Temple. It's unbelievable how we can reach across the miles of oceans and lands and reach so many people, and not only just the radio, but the technology of the computer. And so today, at our disposal, is all this technology that we should be using to get the gospel out. Whether it's through radio or internet, television, we've been able to preach the Word of God everywhere. In fact, do you realize we can actually preach the gospel in areas where missionaries cannot go? Gino told us this before, that people will carry battery-operated radios, and a missionary can't even get to that area, but they have a radio in their hand, and they can tune us in. That's amazing! They can hear the gospel with not even a missionary there. I tell you, radio's worth giving some money to. Investing in eternity. It is. It's worthwhile. Because you're invested in somebody's soul. Now, I know we need missionaries to go and disciple those new believers when they do get saved. And we ought to be in the business of sending missionaries, and we are. And we have another missionary, Brother Mott just told me just before service, that another missionary that we have in escrow is getting ready to come out of escrow, getting ready to go on the field. I say, praise the Lord. Let's give him his money and get him sent. Let's get him out there. That's what we have missions for. And by the way, isn't it great that we have a missions program that has the money sitting in there and it's all ready for him to go? I get excited about that. That's wonderful. Some would be scratching their heads. Well, how are we going to send him? The money's been already put back, saved back. It's there, right in the check. $4,000 or whatever we're going to give him. Get him out there on the field. But just think about what we're doing here. Maybe you're not called to serve overseas. Maybe you're not. But we can send a missionary. Maybe I cannot participate by going overseas myself. But I can participate in the Great Commission by praying and giving to my radio station that can go across the seas. Wow, what a blessing. We don't dare sit on this tonight, do we? You who are listening by radio, you don't dare sit on this. You who are listening to the internet, you're listening because somebody paid the price so you could. Come on, amen. Somebody else paid for it already. My goodness. For Coshocton the other day, I just got another $1,000 given to me. I got a guy stopped in the other day and he said, preacher, I'm going to give you $25,000, I think. I said, "Woo, let's go. Come on, amen. Say, preacher, how's all that happening? Because God knows you're investing. You're investing in eternity. There's souls out there that need to hear the gospel. We have the technology to do it. Why should we sit on our hands and fuss among ourselves about what we're going to do? Let's just get it done. Come on, amen. I'm excited about what God's doing. Our radio station here needs to be cared for. Go with me to Mark chapter 16, verse 15, please. If ever we are not called to go abroad, remember, we can participate in the Great Commission by praying and giving financially, supporting missionaries in so many ways. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, not every one of them could go to all the world. And you know what? We have the privilege to go to more places than most people will ever get to go and preach the gospel. And I believe the gospel is preached not only in the preached sermons, and I think it's wonderful to have preached sermons, but I think singing also gets the gospel across. When you sing, Amazing Grace, isn't that getting the gospel across? How sweet, sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Isn't that getting the gospel out? I once was lost, but now Somebody goes, how was he found? He just planted the seed. Roman numeral 5, and I'm done. The best way to invest in eternity is to share the gospel. The best way to invest in eternity is to share the gospel. Nothing is more fulfilling than seeing a friend or a loved one come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Nothing. The family of Ralph Cantor said to me today, Cheryl said, Pastor, I appreciate what you and Brother Dave did, coming up there talking to us and giving the gospel. And David yesterday was giving the gospel to the whole family. And that was wonderful, but Ralph gave the gospel. Listen to me. I'm telling you, Cheryl said, preacher, he was a better preacher than both of you. He's dying. And he's saying to his family, here's what he said, something like this. Hey, you see what I see? You got to all go with me. Come on. Got to make it right. You got to get things right with God now. In his bed, he's talking like this. He's dying. And he said, I'm seeing what I'm seeing, and you guys see this. Come on now, don't let one of you be lost. You got to follow me here where I'm going now. Come on. Come on, follow me. Woo! Cheryl said, everybody's eyes in that whole place was full of tears. The gospel was being preached. There's nothing more important, nothing, than getting somebody to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing. Forget your money. Nothing is as important as knowing the Lord. Nothing. And when it came down to death, Ralph knew that. He saw things that probably we will never see till we get there. He said something like this. Woo, boy, those streets are pretty. It's exactly what he said. Holy mackerel, he said. Cheryl said he never talked like that, preacher. He never said that word. Where'd that come from? I said, I have no idea. I tell you what, you wait to hear all the stuff he said. It was unbelievable. I sat in my office and cried all afternoon. Had to leave for a little bit. Just unbelievable. Just, woo, glory. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a reality about heaven. Something real about it. Investing in eternity. How about this message last night and all morning this morning? Had it written early for Tammy. It's just in my heart, just burning. Man, God's so good to us. Aren't you glad you're saved? I'm going to be finished here shortly. But nothing is more fulfilling than seeing somebody saved. Your blessing will be twofold. You have the joy of playing a role in that person's salvation, and you will earn a heavenly reward at the same time. You cannot make a wiser choice, more lasting investment in someone's eternal destiny. Now, if you're here tonight, and I think most of all the folks here are saved, but I never know that. And by the way, let's just not suppose everybody is. Let's suppose maybe somebody isn't. Wouldn't you rather suppose somebody isn't and talk to them and convince them they ought to come than to have them sit there thinking they are and miss it and someday scream out in their death, what's this fire? What in the world is this fire? I didn't know I was coming here. Wouldn't you hate to hear somebody scream out while they were dying? But do you realize just as much as I've heard Ralph talk, I've heard people say, get him away from me! Get him away from me! Don't put those on me! I'll be honest. I think Junior Kearns and I were talking yesterday about this, or maybe today. If the doctors would just let us die instead of filling us full of junk, you might hear more about eternity, what some people are heading to, that you'd be scared to death if you heard it. And what you'd be going towards, and you'd be tickled to death to join them. Going to heaven's one thing. Dying and going to hell is a different thing. Now tonight, I know it's Wednesday night, I know it's my church on a Wednesday night, just most of the hometown crowd is here, but I never know who's here that may not know Jesus. And neither do you. Let's suppose that somebody might be here tonight who's not really saved. Maybe they've just been playing the game, but they're not saved. If you haven't already accepted God's gift of forgiveness, I hope you will. The Lord is willing to cleanse you of all your wrongdoing, no matter what sins you've committed. Jesus, the great mediator between God and man, paid the ransom for your soul. Yes, he did. He died on the cross paying that ransom. By faith, all you have to do is ask him to pardon your sin. Receive Christ as your Savior. You'll be taking the first step toward investing in your eternity. And if indeed you are saved tonight, why don't you do something about investing in eternity? Something you've never done before. Take a different step, a giant step forward, and invest in eternity. Let's stand together, shall we? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.
On behalf of Pastor James Lewis and the entire Harvest Baptist Temple, we'd like to say thank you for downloading this message, and it's our prayer it's been a blessing and an encouragement to you. Would you do us just a small favor, please? Take a minute and send us an email just to let us know where in the world you're listening to this message. For example, if you live in China, just simply say, "I'm from China," and give us the title of the message you downloaded. If you'd like to give us more detail, that's fine too. We would just like to know how many people in different parts of the world we're touching through this ministry. The email address is harvest@harvestbaptisttemple.com. We won't put you on any kind of a mailing list, and we certainly won't give your email address to anybody else. Thank you for taking a minute to help us out, and thank you for downloading this message. For more information about the Harvest Baptist Temple, look us up online at considerharvest.com. Considerharvest.com. God bless you.